Welcome to the Nonprofit News Feed, nonprofitnewsfeed.com, bringing you the best news from the best sector, news from a nonprofit perspective and what matters. This show brought to you by Whole Whale, a B Corp digital agency. Thanks for joining us. This week on the Nonprofit News Feed, well, we took a week off. My name is George Weiner, the chief whaler of Whole Whale. We got Nick Azoulay, digital strategist at Whole Whale. Nick, good to see you again. We got some news that, well, first off, the Nonprofit News Feed still sent out the email. It's sitting right there if you want to register, but the podcast is back this week.
Great to be back, George. We had a nice, relaxing vacation. I know some of us were enjoying the tropics, getting our fix of sunshine. But George, on our return, it just so happens that today is Happy Tax Day. I did not get you a gift, but what I will give you are reasons to bust the myth that people donate for tax reasons. So this is something we wanted to kind of do a deep dive into. Do people actually make charitable decisions based on the tax and deduction reasons for doing so, or the deduction benefits for doing so? So we looked at a ton of different resources, and we found that the overwhelming majority of people don't itemize their taxes, George. They're taking that standard deduction, even though the IRS has recently increased its leniency with regards to charitable deductions. We found that because people don't itemize their taxes, they're not realizing the full benefits of charitable donations, and vis-a-vis charitable giving writ large, a study found that changes in tax policy really only marginally, if at all, impact the charitable giving practices for the overwhelming majority of people. So it found that over the long run, charitable giving is more closely tied to, yes, lower tax burdens, but also rising incomes and economic growth. And I think that this is important to note for marketers. You know, all the time you go to donate pages that say, you know, this is a 501c3, you know, deductible, charitable, you know, using all that language to kind of communicate to people the tax benefits of it. But the reality is that for the overwhelming majority of people, they are not itemizing their taxes and are not benefiting from that and are not making charitable donations for tax reasons alone.
Yeah, just to come back to it, if you want to find this information, taxfoundation.org did this interesting deep dive following the TCGA changes that happened in 2017, 2018. And the big question is like, look, we made this huge tax change. We changed a whole bunch of rules on how things would happen. By the way, TCJA, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. Also, we had CARES Act of 2020. The question is, did changing that, which changed the amount of charitable deductions actually claim change giving? And the answer, according to Giving USA data, is no. No, it didn't, at least in the recent timeframe of the past 3 to 5 years. So I think why this catches my attention is because so many, I think, nonprofit donation pages have this, like, it's a tax deductible donation as like the byline. They put it everywhere as like a motivator. And frankly, it's not. It's not getting people out of bed to give. That's not the primary, especially for the long tail of giving. And by the way, high net worth individuals, they already know, right? If they're giving through a DAF, they've already received that tax deductible donation on it. So, you know, where is it in your narrative? And my question to you right now on your page, like how much ink are you spilling for communicating that when it could be better spent communicating the impact or encouraging people to explain, share with others why your cause matters? And I think there's more real estate given to the tax deductible narrative than should be given ultimately. And, you know, if you're looking at it, less than 10% of folks itemize their deductions for the purposes of charitable giving. It's not the why. And so my question to you is, why would you put it front and center if you are in and on your donation page? It is a byline at the bottom at best.
Yeah, George, I think that's right. And we have resources at WholeWhale.com that kind of emphasize what you should and shouldn't have on a donation page. You talk about telling the story of impact, highlighting the actual impact that people's dollars are going to. How does that dollar increase programs that increases outputs? How do you go from inputs to outputs to outcomes? And that narrative building is really important also have resources about documenting transparency with regards to, you know, all the charity navigators of the world, et cetera. But increasing donor trust, I think, is actually more salient an issue to convey on donate pages, especially if you're in the business of acquiring new donors, right? Everyone's kind of now sensitive to giving out money on the internet to organizations they've never heard of. Potentially consider using that space as a trust building exercise. Where are your financials? Where are your annual reports? What are your accreditations, your ratings, all that thing?
Also, what real people are saying. Like, I would love to remove the, by the way, it's tax deductible, to here's a statement from Alexa. Well, I shouldn't use that word. Sorry for every Alexa I just made angry twice. From Janet. My God, go away. What is the average donor saying about their experience with your organization or stakeholder? I think that is better real estate than, hey, this is tax deductible for your donation pages or communications.
I agree, George. Couldn't agree more. All right, I'll take us into our next story. This is kind of a weird one. Brenda Banks, the former director of a Nebraska-based nonprofit, was sentenced to 4 months in prison for using fraudulent documents to secure over $220,000 in public grants for electronic recycling events. The organization is called Angels on Wheels, but Brenda Banks has really turned it into Angels Demons with the fraud. Banks' attorney argued the funds were ultimately used for their intended purpose, with the nonprofit completing the recycling projects, but the case highlighted the misuse of environmental trust funds and also sparked a debate on the actual impact of funded projects in this e-scrap system, and eventually led to a reduced sentence. But George, this is a wonky one. And I have to be honest, I had never heard of like e-scrap.
I think the takeaway here is the reporting on grants, especially in the vein of environmental, government-related, community, city level, will get you in serious trouble if you are not really making sure you dot those I's, cross the T's, and, you know, there's actual prison sentence here. This is the first time I've ever heard of that level of scrutiny for that type of grant follow-up, but clearly, you know, they're paying attention. So, you know, making sure that you, as the executive level, executive management, when you're reporting on grants, especially as they relate to things like this, that they are factually accurate, because they have that on wire fraud for fraudulently reporting on activities that allegedly didn't happen. And so I was like, it is the steepest penalty one can pay, I think, for falsifying grant reporting.
Yeah, I think that's right. I hope I didn't commit any crimes over the weekend when I filled in my taxes. But as the Washington Post says, democracy dies in darkness. And that is relevant to our next story from the Star Tribune, where several of Minnesota's largest companies, including 3M, General Mills, and Thrivent, have transitioned their philanthropic efforts from separate charitable foundations and consolidated them to internal company-controlled giving, sparking concerns among nonprofit leaders about potential decreases in funding overall transparency. So critics argue that this move, without the obligation to file tax returns, your 990s, all those ones, you know, us C3s are used to, as foundations, corporations are less accountable for their activities, downstream consequences of reduced visibility, funding for local nonprofits. Despite these changes, companies assert their commitment to community support remains strong, but with reporting increases, charitable contributions are post-transition amidst a broader trend of evolving corporate philanthropy that includes a focus on sustainability, diversity, and employee volunteerism, is what the corporations are saying. But this strikes me as a little bit concerning, George, if corporate philanthropy is going in-house, if you will.
Yeah, you're maybe asking yourself, why focus on such a, you know, small market, small story, but at the larger level for CSR, corporate social responsibility, these things don't happen in a vacuum. There's clearly some narrative strategic reasoning behind this. Ultimately, yes, less transparency because you're not listing out the grants and amounts given for the, you know, the General Mills Foundation that is now internally aligned with maybe internal employee engagement, volunteerism, like those checks may still be written, but they're not necessarily tracked anywhere near the same level. Also, you know, the infrastructure of a charitable foundation really aligns dollars to the mission of public benefit versus, to be clear, the mandate now is to shareholder value. How does this improve shareholder value? That's not meant to be a slight, but the shareholder value of General Mills does better if the community buys more General Mills products. So what does that actually mean for the corporate social responsibility? Because that is the mandate of the entity as opposed to the mandate of a foundation, a C3 meant for the purposes of distributing money for public benefit.
Absolutely.
All right. I did have a feel-good story, but we can skip it for now. I do have a joke for you, though, Nick.
All right.
Why did a donor make a tax-deductible donation to Heifer International?
Oh, dear God. He was bullish on the return?
Close. They were moved by the mission.
Ah, I see. I see. Get that movement in there.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Mm-hmm. You like, where is it going? I put the pun on the front end, but happy tax day to you, Nick.
Happy tax day, George.
This has been the Nonprofit News Feed Summary of the Week. Thanks for joining us. As always, you can find resources at nonprofitnewsfeed.com. And don't forget to sign up for our weekly email summaries of the best news from the best sector.